Please bow your heads for the prayer of illumination. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, from whom we receive everything, we pray that as your words are read, we would hear them with our eye, our ears, our hearts, and our minds. As we continue with our journey through this Lenten season, we ask that you would help us to learn how to pray to you in your kingdom. We would ask you to give us peace in all the world. These things we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The reading today is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. It tells of the living stone. Hear now the words of the Lord. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in the Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." This is the word of the Lord.
One of the dangers of the Lord's Prayer is that it is so familiar to us. We say it every Sunday. Sometimes we just rattle it off. We know it by heart, but are we taking it to heart? What are we really saying? And why? Last week, on the first Sunday of Lent, Cody started our preaching series on the Lord's Prayer by exploring the opening words and what they might require of us. Today, the second Sunday of Lent, we'll explore the next two foundational sentences. For me, as I hear them and read them and pray them and study them, I find them to be two of the most beautiful and holy sentences in the entire Bible. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We remember that the Lord's Prayer is Jesus' answer to his disciples when they asked him how they should pray. It's not that the disciples hadn't been praying before they met Jesus. They had been praying. But they saw something in the way Jesus prayed that made them want to know more about praying like that. Jesus said to them, as recorded in Matthew 6, verses 9 and 10, "Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You can look forward to praying the entire Lord's Prayer a little bit later in the service, but for now, we're going to focus on those two sentences. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Two sentences, one piece. What are we praying for when we say, "Your kingdom come"? And why? Why did Jesus tell us to pray that? Your kingdom come. Does that mean we're praying for God to come again on earth and make everything right? Are we speaking here of end times? Is it a hopeful wish for God's reign to arrive sometime in the future and as soon as possible and fix everything? Your kingdom come. Kingdom means reign. We're praying for God's reign or rule to come. And we tend to think that where God's rule or reign is most needed is in the world around us, outside us. We are quick to see the world's problems and the problems in the people around us, and to see the need for God to come and straighten everything out. We can just look and see and read and hear. ISIS running rampant, millions of refugees, displaced persons, ruthless rulers, threats of war, escalating disregard for the sanctity of human life, diminishing human natural resources. And the list goes on, and then there are those Democrats. The world's a mess. However, I wonder if we aren't actually looking in the wrong direction. Yes, the world out there is a mess, but maybe, just maybe, Jesus is teaching us that instead of looking out there, we should be looking in here. So the more I read and study the Lord's Prayer, the more I say the Lord's Prayer, the more I believe your kingdom come is about each of us embracing God's rule and authority in our own lives. Jesus instructed us to pray in this way so that we would continually be seeking God to reign in every part of our lives, in here. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, announces our intentions to obey God and God alone in our own lives. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, in our earth, in the place where we live, in us as it is in heaven. After all, doesn't change in the outside world really begin with change in our hearts? As Mahatma Gandhi is reported to have said, "Be the change you wish to see in the world." Jesus, of course, knew this, and as a result taught us to pray that God would rule in our hearts. Now, Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom. It was one of the dominant themes throughout his teachings. You hear it in his sermons, you hear it in his parables. Jesus tells us the kingdom is like a tiny mustard seed that grows into a great bush that becomes a safe haven for many birds. He tells us the kingdom is like a king who gave a great banquet. So many were invited. So many had excuses for why they couldn't come. The kingdom is like a man who found a great treasure in a field. The kingdom is like a child. The kingdom is like a net. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, points to both the future and the present. We believe that the kingdom is at hand and yet to come, meaning it's still a process. A process that we pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to do our best to live in the reality that of the kingdom that is here today, and to do our part in bringing the kingdom of God to completion. God is expecting each of us, every single one of us, to do our part. So then when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we are praying for God's kingdom to inhabit our lives today and for tomorrow. One of the earliest Christian theologians who lived not long after Christ's resurrection wrote these words, which seem so appropriate today. "Desire the heavens to be now and within us. Christ reigns daily in those who pray, when the rule of the devil has been cast out of their hearts and God has begun to hold sway." There's a wonderful hymn that celebrates this. Unfortunately, I was not able to get the music to Susan in time, and it is not yet in the Presbyterian hymnal. Maybe next time they publish it, it will be. It is called "Lord, Reign in Me." And if I had any kind of voice, I'd sing it. But since you don't want to hear that, please hear some of the lyrics. It goes like this. "Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me. Reign in your power over all my dreams, in my darkest hour. You are the Lord of all I am, so won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord, because you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again?" I look forward to us all singing that together in the future. So clearly, the Lord's Prayer acknowledges that God is God, and it is God that is finally responsible for bringing in his rule. But we cannot pray. We cannot continue to pray the Lord's Prayer without committing our own will and action to fulfilling the will of God in the present, as best we can. That is our responsibility as Christians. And we are, as Christians empowered by the Holy Spirit, as we ask to live what we pray. I want to tell you a story about a married couple. They went in for marriage counseling. The husband was particularly distressed. He spoke about problems he was having with his wife. She was not doing the things that he thought a wife should be doing. I heard that. Evidently not uncommon. And he wanted the marriage counselor, essentially he was there so the marriage counselor would straighten out his wife. get her to do what I want her to do that she's not doing. Well, of course, the marriage counselor, that's impossible. The marriage counselor couldn't do that. But he did something that was very, very helpful. He asked the wife a question. This question: what kind of wife do you want to be? And then he turned to the husband and asked him, and what kind of husband do you want to be? Only then, when they each turned their attention away from out there, away from trying to fix other people and situations, and toward in here, and focused on what each was responsible for, their own behavior, did their relationship begin to turn around. And that got me thinking about us in our praying the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. And I wondered if one of the questions we can each ask ourselves to better help us live the Lord's Prayer is this: what kind of Christians do we want to be? Mother Teresa is reported to have said, "I used to pray that God would feed the hungry, or do this or that. But now I pray that he will guide me to do whatever I'm supposed to do, whatever I can do. I used to pray for answers, but now I'm praying for strength." Our reading from 1 Peter that Bill read tells us how we can build up our spiritual lives by building on the immovable rock of Christ. If you look out there, it's all shifting sand. If you look inside and build your spiritual life on the rock of Christ, you will have strength and stability. Verse 1 and on. "Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. Come to him, a living stone, and let yourselves be built into a spiritual house." You are all spiritual houses in the making. So, when we look at that question, what kind of Christian do I want to be? What kind of Christians do we want to be here at First Pres Littleton? I believe we want to be the kind of Christians that know the Lord's Prayer by heart and are taking it to heart in our behavior. I believe we're the kind of Christians that will do whatever we need to do for the reign of God to live in us. I believe we're the kind of Christians that with our strong spiritual core work wonders in our community, in our families, and in the world. I believe we're the kind of Christians that mean what we say when we pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.